This is the Book Club at 91.7. I'm Mark Purcell. Good morning. Just ahead, Will Hillenbrand drops in to talk about his new picture book, Snowman's Story. It's his first children's book that is wordless. And later, Dennis Hetzel and Rick Robinson team up to tell you about their new sports political thriller, Killing the Curse. If you're a book lover, I'm hoping you'll share your passion with us. The Book Club at 91.7 is easy to find on the WVXU website, on the WVXU Facebook page, and by email at book@wvxu.org. I keep posing questions, hoping you'll share your answers with us. This month, when you call 352-9188, you'll answer the question, what's the last book you gave as a gift? Here are some friends of the Book Club at 91.7 with their answers.
My name is Elizabeth Truitt, and I live in Marymount. A couple days ago, I gave the first in the Wildwood trilogy to my niece, who is a voracious reader at 12. Can't keep her in books fast enough. It's written by Colin Molloy, who's from The Decemberists, and I love The Decemberists, so it's been a kid's trilogy that I've wanted to read with her for a long time, so I figured the holidays are coming up. It'll give me a chance to have a little break and read that and discuss it.
Hello, I'm Michael Link from Northside. The last book I gave as a gift was the Caldecott-winning A Sick Day for Amos McGee. It's a picture book. My wife and I have given it to probably 30 other families. For a while, we just had a stack of five of them at the house so we could give them out as we thought of it. It's beautifully written, beautifully illustrated. But the amazing thing about this book is it's earnest without being saccharine, and the sense of pacing of this book, it's comforting. It's about the zookeeper who comforts animals, and then when he gets sick, they miss him, so they get on the bus and come comfort him in his own home. And there's just a beautiful, subtle, quiet narrative to this book that kids love, parents love. It's really just a perfect picture book for people of all ages. I don't know that if I spent the next 40 years looking at it, that I could figure out a change to a single word or a single picture. It's just so well done. It deserved to win the award, and we just constantly give it to families.
Hi, I'm Gara from Mount Washington. The last book I gave as a gift is, this is a book without pictures. So it's a children's book where there are no pictures in the book, which you would think would be really boring. However, the author points out that when you're reading a book, the reader has to read whatever's on the page, and then it just kind of descends into a bunch of ridiculousness. So I got that for my nephews. Don't tell them.
This is the Book Club at 91.7 on WVXU and WMUB. I'm Mark Purcell. Joining me in the studio is a master of his craft, illustrating and writing children's books. Will Hillenbrand, from here in Cincinnati, lives out in Terrace Park, has just released another book. It's called Snowman's Story, and he's here to talk about it. Good morning, and welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Good morning, Mark. It's a pleasure to be here with you again.
I know you have written dozens of books. I forget the number. It's over 50, right?
Yeah, it's 60. This is my 60th book.
This is the first one without words. Why did you decide to go with a wordless picture book?
Well, I didn't initially. When I did my very first book dummy, it was with words. I worked with my editor in looking at that first book dummy, and that, there's always the revision process. And this one, there was more than typical, because in the process of the revisions and changing the pictures and adding pictures, I removed words. And it was not all at once. It was bit by bit. And it was almost surprising, Mark. At one point, I looked at the book dummy, and there were no more words. And I thought, well, I guess that's the way this book's going to be. So I think in one way you always think of words. Words are, kind of the brick and mortar of articulation, in all articulation, of being able to communicate In this case, it is holding those words back so that the words that are embedded in the pictures come forth and engage the audience in a different way, in a way that takes the storyteller and moves it to the audience. And so for a young child, then they become engaged with this visual world, which is the way that they understand the world. They come in without words. They decode the world around them through the things that they see and also the things that they hear, but it's the things that they see first. And so in this case, it's a discovery for them. In this case, maybe this book, for all readers, becomes less intimidating because it doesn't require something that's really complex, which is putting a visual process on top of a word process. Sometimes, I just spoke a while back with my friend Peter Cease, who does beautiful books and for young children. And his books are created in such a way that if an adult gave a book to a child and said, here, read this, you might think, well, okay, 6 minutes are up. Are they finished? And they would just be beginning, because you can read his books on so many different levels. And in this book, Snowman Story, it's really an invitation for the reader to follow the lead of the pictures and allow them to conjure the story.
Lots of expression on the characters. It's wonderful how many expressions the snowman alone has in Snowman Story. But everyone reflects, and I see those opportunities throughout the book for the story to go in many different ways. And I think that does spark the imagination.
Well, it's kind of critical to be able to see that engagement. Recently, when I did a book signing, there was a mother and a child and a grandfather at the signing, and a two-year-old. And the two-year-old grabbed the book and found a comfortable spot in the grandfather's lap. And the little girl had been read to, because she knew how to flip the pages where it began. But I told the mother, I said, take a video of that, because actually she was reading her very first story. Because she had the power of being able to go through. And the pictures are powerful. In this book, there is a death. The snowman dies for a little bit. And at another book signing, I saw a preschooler look at that picture and took two giant steps back.
Really?
Yeah. And it's powerful. She got back into the story. But I think that the story has an emotional range to it that includes fun and the edge of tragedy and an aha ending. All those things come together because, picture book requires time of the reader. And if you're looking at a picture in a museum or on a wall, it also requires time, but in a different sense. What happens is the pictures have to orchestrate time. And so through rhythms of pictures that are small or large that allow you to go through quickly or slowly, at your pace, to go backwards and then forwards if you want. But it allows the reader to be able to discover what's happening from beginning to end and have the sense of wonder and the guessing of what's going to happen on the drama of the page, what's going to happen next. What do I think?
When I was reading Snowman's Story, I have to say, when the death happens, that mm-hmm. I went by, but then I had to go back. Mm-hmm. I really understand what you're saying, moving back and forth in the story. And the opportunities. I just see so many opportunities when it comes to the kids enjoying it.
Well, and the snowman is not alive to begin with. It's when the hat hits his head, that's when he comes to life. That's how when he loses the hat, that's how, the darkness comes. But the fun part of it too, Mark, is that for those of us who are passionate about books, no one has picked out for us our favorite book. No one can pick out for you your favorite piece of music. You mm-hmm. do that. And a child does that because they experience many books, or they experience many things, and then they tell us. They tell us because they say, again and again,
right,
and again. And that's kind of that's the signal. But what happens in this book, there is a book in the story. No title is given to the book. No page is shown to you in the book. And I hope for the reader that would mean the book that's in the hands of the snowman is their favorite book.
I'm speaking with Will Hillenbrand, children's author and illustrator. His new picture book, wordless picture book, Snowman's Story, is in stores and libraries now. Today at 11 o'clock, he'll be one of the authors volunteering at Indy's program Guest Booksellers at Joseph Beth Booksellers. That's between 11 and noon, and then between 2 and 3 this afternoon, he'll be at Blue Marble Books in Fort Thomas doing the same thing. Details about that on our website, wvxu.org. We were talking before we went on the air, and you mentioned going and presenting to some children and having Snowman's Story there to quote-unquote, and I'm making air quotes here, to read to them. So has that been a challenge for you to incorporate this wordless picture book in your presentations?
Well, not so much my presentations, because the pictures tell so much of that part of the story. But when I'm in a small group and being able to do it, every reading with this book I can predict is going to be a little different. Mm-hmm. Because of the audience will make a big impact. It's somewhat like an actor doing Charles Dickens one more time, but the audience always has an impact on the way that the performance is created. And because it's presented live, you know, anything can happen. And of course, with children, you can pretty well expect anything might happen.
That's right.
But you go with it, because that's the fun of it. Children desire the kind of engagement that a reader and a storyteller have, and I get to be the guide to that. So I don't know what will happen, but if I can speak a moment to just parents or readers, I mean, what happens is if you have an opportunity to bring a child into your lap, or if you've ever been given that look by a child with a book in their hand and they want you to read a story, you've gotten a special invitation to take a child to the Hundred Acre Woods or to the Neverland. You get to be the guide, even into Mr. McGregor's garden, which children pretty well find out in the beginning that Peter's father ended up in a pie. It's not a safe place. But through all this, you don't go alone when you're a child. You go with a guide. And the guide is the well-prepared reader that has the opportunity to have a never-to-be-forgotten experience in that child's mind. And why wouldn't you ever want, you know, why would you not want to do that?
True. Well, I found one challenge for this. Now, I haven't tried this reading to someone mm-hmm. yet, though I do have plans with Snowman's Story. But I saw one challenge. I know how the kids a lot of times have their favorite parts of the book, that, you know, recurring parts. So I can see where there will be, you know, as you're reading the Snowman story the first time, where you got to kind of develop some of those high points or highlights that they look forward to. Yeah. Would you agree?
I agree. And I think that to answer your question, maybe before I didn't get it completely right, I think that what happens is that maybe when you read the story the first time, you ask for your audience, you know, to be able to tell you what they see. And then the second reading, you put that together as a storyteller and you tell that story. And that, so you can say, once upon a time, this happened. A hat was in the middle of the woods, and an owl came down and picked it up and flew into the air to a deeper part of the woods, and the hat was dropped near a bunny that noticed it. You can do that kind of thing. But I think in the beginning, it would all be done uniquely by the things that were noticed by that audience, whether it's one or many. Many means you have to do some sorting. But I think there's the challenge, and, you know, rise up to it.
Yes. Well, and I saw many opportunities, something I like to do, sound effects.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's that. And I should say that I did, my mother's 93 years old. I just gave her the book, and I took a picture of her with it. And I said, you know, I opened the book so she could hold it so that I could photograph it and we could see the cover. And she doesn't want that page. So I said, well, what page do you want, Mom? She goes, the one with the big snowman on it. So, you know, we found the big page. So, you know, from young or old, you know, they will have a page. And again, it's, you know, it's a, let them choose. And it may tell you more than you know. It'll tell you a lot about your reader, what they choose and why, for whatever that's worth.
I'm just laughing at that picture. I wanted to ask how it affected your art, writing this wordless picture book. You say the Snowman story started out with words, mm-hmm. and the words gradually disappeared from it. Did this challenge you as an artist to find a better way to convey the arc of the story?
Yeah, it was an amazing experience. I've never done a book like it. I hope that I'll have an opportunity to be able to do this kind of thing again. Every book I've done, I have just, I love it because I learned so much. I think I know a lot. I don't know much. And then I do a book and I keep learning, and it's every day. And it's and there's many questions that you have to answer from the very beginning. Now, this book began not as a book. It began as a greeting card. It was a greeting card that I did about 3 or 4 years ago. And that greeting card idea started long ago in my childhood when my parents asked me to do a thank you note for gifts received. And I didn't like to do that. I like getting the gifts. But writing was really hard for me. I have a learning disability, and being able to put pen to paper to write was painful. So wisely, and I don't know which one told me, but they said, well, why don't you draw a picture? Well, I drew pictures all the time, so being able to draw a picture was kind of wasn't an aha moment, except that I hadn't thought of it. It was an aha moment. And things changed ever since as far as a child, because then my aunts and uncles and family members always got thank you cards. I wanted to do it. I knew it was the right thing to do. And then I would draw for them, and the pictures would end up on their refrigerators. And as a child, sometimes it's hard to speak to adults. You don't know what to say. Your worlds are very different. But I remember my aunt Florence said to me, once she goes, I loved your card. It's here on the refrigerator. We went to look at it, and then she pointed to this tree I had drawn, and it was a book that had to be spring. Maybe it was around the Easter holiday. And she said, how did the bunny get in the tree? And I just said, I drew it there. I don't know. I didn't know the story before or after. Often I figure it out. And when I did the drawing of the snowman initially, often now, when I do greetings, I like to include a book. They mean so much to me. Why wouldn't I include a book? So a drawing of a snowman would be holding a book. And when I had that, I decided who else would be listening. And of course, out of his hat came the rabbit. Well, rabbits come out of hats. Maybe other things do too, but rabbits is what we think about. And with his ears pointing down and listening to a good story well told. As far as the book then, and I made it the pages almost to be illuminated, as if light were coming from them. Because what illustration and the kind of the root of the word means, to lighten up. And when manuscripts were created, illuminated manuscripts were done, a lot of gold leaf were added to those beautiful pieces of art, because rooms were not well lit. Mm-hmm. Any light that you could gather and reflect on the page to help you see what was there. Well, gold was very reflective, and it could help you see it. But, of course, it does more than that. Books do illuminate. They illuminate our imagination. They illuminate our mind. Good illustrations allow you to see things in a way that you hadn't seen them before. And so they renew. That was the genesis of, the card was made. I was happy. I had a greeting card to send out for the holidays. What a relief.
Yes.
And then my editor, who was one of the persons who received it, said, I'd like you to think about doing a story for this picture. And then the rest of the process began to happen.
Many beautiful pictures in Snowman's story, but for this interview, you brought in a number of pictures in the rejects too, and that. How many times did you have to? Well, I guess how many drawings did you do, and how many actually ended up in the book?
Well, I can't. With a book.
I mean, it looks like about a stack about 3 inches thick there.
Well, and it's more than this, Mark, as I could bring them in. It's like, let's weigh it.
That's 40 pounds worth of paper, right?
Yeah,
there.
It's. I think in the final in a book, to answer the last part of the question, a book is made of 32 pages, plus the cover. A picture book. And sometimes there's more, but generally that's the standard format. That's what it is for this. So as far as making it, I'm often asked by children when I do school visits about how you deal with failure. Mm-hmm. And I'm always glad to ask, because there are a lot of revisions in what you do. And part of it literally is how you draw it out. You draw a story figuratively and literally out of yourself. It's as you're drawing it that you end up forming the vagueness of words that may be shaping your idea are the visual that's shaping it, and visuals always come first for me, are made manifest by drawing it, because then you see it. And then you might find that as you realize what you've drawn, and you see it for the first time before anybody does, that there are a lot of crooked paths from your brain to your arm to your fingers. And what you thought you had in your mind is a little different than what's on the paper. And when you see it, you can think about it again. And it starts a journaling process because it's a conversation. It's not a monologue. If it was a monologue, it would be one and done. But in bookmaking, it's a journal. So it's the thought, it's the realization, it's the rethinking of that realization, and seeing maybe I can go right, left, up, down, backwards, forwards. And then you have to make that decision, which way do you go? And then that requires another effort to be able to move that idea along, to form it. In a book, it's because it's 32 pages and because it takes time, it's this sequential journey. It would be a little bit like if you heard a great piece of music and if I said to you, pick out your favorite note. By itself, it's not going to have great significance. It's the context of all those pictures coming together, the orchestration of the rhythm and the pattern of how you choose and why you choose. You might do a beautiful drawing, but maybe it doesn't meet the requirements of the sequence of drawings. So you put it aside and say, I love that drawing. It's great in and of itself. But it's not helping this context. So you wake up knowing you'll fail today, and you'll fail probably many times. But it's not sure. The end of the story, mm-hmm. because no one really becomes that engaged with a story that only deals with failure. We look for a hero, and a hero means an outcome that resolves problems. There is an outcome that for a young audience needs to be satisfying, that ends up being able to say, I can close the book. And really, Mark, for books, that's what they uniquely offer to us. And our lives continue on and maybe feel like they're droning along. I hope they're not, but maybe they go on. But for a book, there's a beginning, middle, and end. And when we close that last page and a child says, again, or I'm satisfied, it means that has a conclusion. That story arc was there. And being able to do Snowman story, there had to be the elements of setting up the problem, maybe even the problem that you forget about, the rabbit, you forget the rabbit's even there because we move to another place in the story, and then it comes out. And for me, the theft of the book in the story connects to childhood experience. So that even means how do you think of these stories? Well, once I received my library card and I knew all the rules from the library, that was power. And growing up in College Hill, the branch was only a block and a half away. I had seen a film by Albert Lamoureux, and that was called The Red Balloon. Yeah, you know that. Mm-hmm. And like, you don't forget it, do you?
No, and, not at all.
Every child should experience that. I went to the library, and I saw it not as a film, but I saw it as a book. I checked it out. And at the moment of checkout, I knew I would never return that book.
Librarians.
Yeah, right. Well, I've already reconciled that. But, you know, we paid for the book. But what happened was that, you know, I do know that there's certain things that we feel like we need to possess or own. And we didn't buy very many books in our house. And I knew the white-hot moment of when I had that in my hands that I felt like I couldn't give this up. Well, I went home, and I hid it in our house. And I'd pull out, and I'd read it. And then I'd say, somebody's going to find that spot, so I'd hide it in a new spot. And then I'd pull out, and I did it again and again until I couldn't find the spot where I hid it. And then when the notices came that we were overdue, I broke down in tears. I said, you know, I can't give it up. But I don't even know where it is, and to this day, I don't know where it is. It's probably one of the foundation stones for my parents' home. It's holding it up, but in this book, I mean, so in other words, the experiences that we have, you know, I morph that into the characters and the desires of, I think, what we have when we find something so good. And for me, a book is really that kind of thing, that we felt it was a fiber of our life forever, that it was, the Neverland was always inside of us. The Tinkerbell just out of pure, out of anywhere. It is our book DNA, and I think that for me, what I'd like to do is be able to embrace the reader in a way that is both new, familiar, and exciting, and makes a deeper connection with them. That's a lot. If you were to say to an art student, go ahead and make a drawing like that, they'd say, what are you talking about? But it is really at this level of my artistic career that I do think about things like that. I do desire to be able to put that in. Of course, I want to be able to make sure that it's well drawn and beautifully presented, because that's going to push the story forward. So, and I have to work on that all the time. But I also want to work on those ideas that help, that maybe will help, if they're done well, make the story go deeper for the reader. Because I want those children to discover what we know, and that is the unique pleasure of books.
I can't wait to share the Snowman story with some young readers that I know. And I could learn so much more from you, Will, but I'm afraid we're out of time. But
once again,
thank you.
Yes, thank you, Mark. As always, it is a deep pleasure. I've always enjoyed being with you.
Snowman Story by Will Hillenbrand, a wordless picture book, his first in 60. You can meet Will at Joseph Beth Booksellers this morning at 11 a.m. He'll be there for an hour as a guest bookseller. And then this afternoon at Blue Marble Books in Fort Thomas, he'll be a guest bookseller from 2 to 3. And you can learn more about Will and his work through our website, wvxu.org. The book club at 91.7. And thanks again, Will.
It's been a pleasure, Mark.